Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to episode 26 of Roms Over Baghdad. I am your host, Jake. Got a real small crew today compared to the last one, which I don't even remember skipping or not even recording or something because I just saw it on the site.
Yep.
And I was like, wait, what?
Yep, that happened. It was a real mess.
I can't remember what happened.
We took care of it.
Okay, whatever.
We took care of it. Wink.
It's episode 26. I looked that up before we started.
It's also on the Google Doc. It's just there.
Because I'm smart. Yeah, also that. It's at the very top of the Google Doc.
Yeah. Oh, hello. I'm Thown / Albie.
Yeah, hello. Albie's here.
Hi.
And Mary's also here.
Hey, hello. I'm here again, like usual.
So video games, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played some. Did you play any video games?
Barely.
What kind of video games did you play?
I started up Tomb Raider, the newest version,
the remake version.
That's actually pretty fucking cool.
How does it run on your computer?
It runs really well, actually. I had to turn some stuff down, but...
I seem to remember there being problems with Tomb Raider when it came out, but that might be just me.
Her hair looks cool, I guess. I turned Tress Effects on for like 5 minutes, and I was like, eh, because I had an FPS counter going, and it did a significant amount of damage to my FPS.
Really? That much? Really?
Well, I mean, like, 5 FPS is a lot when you're trying to get 120 constant out of it.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
But you're missing out on her pretty hair blowing in the wind.
Are you going to miss that? Her shoulders. Like, it does not collide with her shoulders.
Yeah.
Or her back.
Sounds shitty.
It floats like a half inch or like an inch above her skin.
That's weird.
Fancy magical hair.
Magic hair.
Whatever.
From all the rain in those tombs, it makes your hair magical.
It's blown by the wind. It's that's how it looks when you're
there
hunting
are
around.
Tombs to raid, like actual you raid tombs. It's a side thing, but it's yeah.
Cool. I like raiding.
Talking
tombs.
About games from 2013 in 2015.
Yep, that's the podcast. That's the subtitle on this podcast.
That is. That's a long subtitle.
Yes, it is.
Take a long breath.
So, tell me about Tomb Raider. Are you game for the next one? Is it good enough that you're, you know, excited for the next Tomb Raider in the series?
I have to finish this one first.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
Before I even know, really. But, so far, I've been enjoying it. I'm only a couple hours into it, though, so.
So, like, have you played the older Tomb Raiders, or is this your first Tomb Raider?
No, this is my first one. I did not own a PlayStation when I was young, so I did not get to play any of the Tomb Raider games. And then they just kind of looked sort of janky to me a little bit.
They were very sort of janky. Well, that's good. At least it's like I've been hearing it. I don't know, people were not as excited about the next one, or they didn't like the first one as much as, you know, I guess the company was hoping for or whatever. But I don't know. I like Tomb Raider. I like raiding tombs. I like things that happen where you raid tombs.
But, yeah, it runs well. Voice acting's good. Story's all right so far. It's really fucking brutal.
Oh, yeah. That's a question I have for you. A lot of people say that, like, it's really, like, they abuse her a lot or, like, some kind of, like, gore her a lot and things and, like, terrible things happen to her.
I've heard the word used as torture porn.
Yeah, something like that. Do you feel from your experiences so far with the game that could be kind of seen that way?
Not really.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's only like a couple of cutscenes that if you fuck up, you die a horrible death.
Yeah, it seems like to me when I've seen those deaths, you're just supposed to go like, oh god, and then like want to restart. Like they're not that crazy.
It's weird though, like the QuickTime event sequences when you're just doing single button presses, you have to time it. Like it's there's an outer circle and an inner circle and it tells you which key you have to press, and then the outer circle goes into the middle circle, like it shrinks, and then that's when you have to hit it. And if you hit it before that, you fuck up, you die.
Like a rhythm game? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
No, I mean
yeah.
there's a small window of time before the outside of it becomes nothing.
Yeah, like when you're playing Love Live on a cell phone. It's like not done in a rhythm game style, but that's totally how it works.
That's weird. When did that become a thing? When did rhythm stuff enter into it? And that's weird. That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
That's a transition I didn't expect.
Like I said, though, it's not necessarily a rhythm thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, but
yeah, no, like it's not going to music or anything, but you have to hit it at the exact timing. That's crazy. So, do you see yourself like finishing this game?
Yeah, probably. I just got to sit down and get back into it again.
How far are you? How many? Like, what's your? Is there some way to tell how far you are? Do you have a bow and arrow yet? Can you shoot people with a bow and arrow yet?
I just got the machine gun.
Okay. That's probably, I have no idea. But it's probably pretty far in the game when you get a machine gun.
Oh, I am like 5 hours into the game already.
Oh, okay.
So I might want to play that one. Like, I haven't played that Tomb Raider game at all. I've watched my little brother, like, play all of the old Tomb Raiders, like, on the computer and then later on our PlayStation. But that latest trailer for, like, the new game where she was stabbing dudes on the neck, like, jumping from rooftops and just murdering the shit out of people, like, that looks like fun. So I might give the first game a shot, see if I like the gameplay style at all.
Mary, what's your fascination with stabbing people in the neck? I just want to be real with you for a minute.
I don't know. There's something oddly satisfying about it. I know other people have described it that way, but it's true.
All right. Well, that's a dark answer, but all right. All right. That's great. That's hilarious. All right. You play anything else, Jake?
Here's one out of left field. I started messing around with Stepmania.
What?
Oh, wow.
Because I bought a metal DDR pad.
What? Oh my god.
It's pretty fucking awesome. But that's pretty dope. I don't really have a good spot in my house to put it at the moment. Because my house is kind of in a disarray. Because I just don't give a shit right now. Because I'm going to move in like a couple months probably.
Throw your couch out and then just sit on
my
DDR pad.
My couches were free and they're actually really nice. So I'm going to hold on to the couches.
You could put the DDR pad on the couch. The dance on the couch on the DDR pad. That's how it's done, right?
But it's fucking heavy. It's like 50 pounds.
And it's I would imagine. Yeah, metal and everything. That's like home gym equipment, basically. Like, that's what I would use it for.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the idea. Like, I played a lot of Stepmania when I was in, like, high school. And I always wanted to build a hard pad and never got around to it. Or just didn't want to put up with the R&D and then like the fixing and tweaking stuff from you know, having to build stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of work.
So I figured I just picked one up. I was like, you know what? I need to get back into this. I need to start getting some regular cardio in.
How did it end up being shipped to like your place? Was it kind of a kit that you had to build at all? Like how much assembling did you have to do?
There were two parts.
Some assembly.
It was the pad and the bar.
Oh wow, that sounds simple.
Yeah, and then there's only like two like machine screws to put into the bottom of the posts for the bar.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh yeah,
and that was it.
Man, that sounds very
it's
tempting.
It's kind of weird though. It goes through like connection wise to my computer. It goes through. It comes out as like a serial port cable.
Oh wow,
off of the pad, and then it goes into. It goes into this box that has two more buttons on it, like an arcade cabinet would for a DDR machine.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
And then that goes into a PlayStation to USB adapter that came with the pad.
That's pretty cool.
Because this shit's like super old. They have not, the company I bought it from has not changed their site or like their logo or anything since like 2004.
Yeah, I wonder if these are, like, the same suppliers that were selling metal dance pads at Fry's for, like, a long time, and I totally regretted not buying. Sounds like it.
I got it from ddr-game.com.
Might have to look that up
and
save.
That might not be the right.
Because, like, I've been hanging out with my sister a lot lately because she's moving to Austin a little bit more permanently. And we've been hanging out at pinballs a lot lately and just playing DDR. And holy crap, I'm out of shape. Like, it would be nice to be able to do that more often, like at home especially, and not have to pay a dollar per play. Screw that.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Like the new DDR, isn't there a new like kind of DDR thing? Is it like Dance Revolution or I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, they're making like new music games all the time, but I'm not sure like when the last time they've made like an official new DDR, like they're all touchscreen stuff now.
The last proper DDR game on like consoles, I think, was Supernova. I think was the name of it. It was the one after Extreme. I don't know. But that site that I got this pad from is ddrgame.com. There's no dash.
Okay.
But it looks like they sell pads for the Wii.
Oh, man.
Like Dance Dance Revolution and Dance Dance Revolution 2 on the Wii? What?
Oh, that's the one I was thinking. I thought that was a DDR game. Is Just Dance not a DDR game? Is it not like a continuation?
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, Just Dance is like an Ubisoft, like, just wiggle this controller around. You're dancing. Yeah.
Woo! Dancing.
But, yeah, and I acquired a pack of every DDR song and, like, step chart from, like, every console version of the game released. And I think I also got all of the music and step charts for In the Groove, which is kind of In the Groove's weird. It's like a third party thing that you like replace the banner and stuff on a DDR machine with In the Groove, and I think you change out a board or something in the machine and it becomes an In the Groove machine.
Yep, yeah. It was actually developed in Texas. It's a weird ass game.
But then there's something called OpenITG, and I don't know what that is, because I never heard of that. I've only heard of Stepmania, because that's what I used when I was in high school.
Yeah, I imagine it started out as like just some fan program thingy, and they built it up. I have no idea, though. I was just into regular DDR back then, and like Taiko and pop music.
So, is Bamani still a thing in Japan? Is that still going strong, I would assume?
Not, like, as strong, but it still exists, for sure. Like, I know that they have a new poppin' music. I'm pretty sure.
I have no idea.
I've only seen one Beatmania machine in my life. That's the one with the DJ pad and, like, the keys, like, the keyboard thing.
Well, I just tried going to, like, the official Beimani portal on Konami.jp, and it's shut down, so I don't know.
There's your answer.
Well, I mean, it is Konami, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Next, we'll be getting DDR slots.
DDR Pachinko? All right. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
All the fun of DDR without the physical exertion.
The way it was meant to be played.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking it up, and Beimani apparently still exists. They just closed down the website, like, in 2012 for some reason. But they brought out some new game called Beatstream. And it's a touchscreen game. Yep.
Great.
Music library primarily consists of Vocaloid as well as Toho Project. So it's for anime nerds. Yeah,
of course.
They probably won't exist for much longer, knowing the way Konami's been going.
If there wasn't Toho, I would be concerned.
Got to get that hot bad apple on everything, even like a Vectrex now. But whatever.
Have you seen? There's a video floating around of a guy. He's playing along with the theme from the show or something, but he's doing it with like random objects, like off the side of like a shoebox, like a ruler, and he's like moving it around to change the pitch of what the ruler sounds like.
Wow! No, yeah. I have not
and
then seen that.
Like it gets crazier and crazier, and he switches between shit.
I watched this dude who like makes instruments out of vegetables, and that's kind of similar, I guess.
Is it? I don't know. Like that might be a stretch.
That's what
yeah,
it made
sure.
me think of. I don't know. Sorry. Celery nose flute. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, what else are you gonna do with celery? Eat it? That's for crazy people. Nobody eats celery. No one.
That sounds awesome, though. I wish I had a metal dance pad. I think, like, our apartment floor would break if I tried doing that, though, the way this building is.
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing. I don't have anybody living below me, so.
There you go. That's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see.
Tell us about this cologne thing here before we move on.
Oh, ESL 1 cologne. This is a Counter-Strike Global Offensive major. Just wrapped up like an hour ago.
How'd that go? Did it go well?
Pretty predictable. Well, I wouldn't say it was predictable, but at the end it was kind of predictable.
Oh, so like, were they like expected to win and everything?
Well, they win like fucking everything.
Oh, okay.
Fnatic wins everything. Like they just go and fucking destroy like all the time. Or they'll get like second or third. They're always on the podium.
So was it kind of a boring match then? Like, was it interesting to watch at all?
When you kind of already know the outcome, like you pretty much know what's going to happen, even though the team that they played against is Envious, I think. Envy? Yeah, that's who they played. Envy has beaten them in a best of three before for a final. I think that was at DreamHack last year. I'm not sure. But yeah. No North American teams made it into the quarterfinals. Surprise, surprise.
Mm.
A Brazilian team made it into the quarterfinals, which was cool. But they got matched up with Fnatic. That's their first quarterfinals match. And they got 2-0'd.
That hurts.
But Ninjas in Pajamas did not make it to the podium. So that made me happy. Because usually it's always fucking Ninjas in Pajamas versus Fnatic for a final. That's what it always fucking is. And it's boring.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Like, I hate seeing the same teams up on a podium.
It's like the same people over and over and over and over and over. It's like Fnatic is the Sebastian Vettel of Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Where everybody, everybody starts going... okay, he's gonna win, but who's gonna come in second?
Sports. It sounds like real sports to me, yeah.
It's like the Patriots, always winning. The damn Patriots. Always winning every single year. Anyway, go ahead.
But I'll give the North American Counter-Strike team some credit, though. The Cloud9 made it to the finals in a couple of smaller tournaments, but they were all playing like best of threes in the group stages, which is a new thing that needs to become the standard, because I don't know why the majors, which are sponsored by Valve, are best of one double elimination groups. So you just play one map against some team, and if they just happen to have a fluke win, you're fucked.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good for like finals. You would think,
yeah,
for finals they would have more matches, if anything.
And people say, oh, take too much time. It's like, did you see how many teams were in the international?
And did you
to a final in like 5 days? Yeah, not a big deal.
I guess once they can make a lot more money off of Counter-Strike like they do off of Dota, they'll stretch it out a little bit longer.
Making more money off
of it. I guess maybe they don't feel like they need to try as hard. Money comes in regardless.
But yeah, Cloud9, they just had a recent roster change, and it's been working out really well, apparently. And they fixed their comms and all that shit. Like, their comms aren't super busy anymore. Their in-game leader is a fucking wizard.
And a wizard?
Knows, like, he knows, like, everything that the other team is going to throw at him. And he can call the other team's plays like nothing. Reads them like a book. It's kind of crazy.
Man.
I don't remember which tournaments it was, but they went to the grand finals against TSM in a best of three. Lost 2-1, I think, and then they... TSM is probably like the second best team in the world, I think, right now. And then another one they played against. Who did they play against in the finals? Oh, it was Na'Vi, a Ukrainian team, who is also very, very well known, probably top 5 team in the world. But they also lost 2-1 on that. But it was really cool to see him finally make it to the finals in like a European tournament, in two European tournaments, like back to back, made it to the finals, which you never fucking see anymore. But I think it's because they probably, yeah, it's probably because they played the best of three groups, so they actually managed to make it.
No, yeah, like playing a game of three, like you can learn from your opponents a little bit more and take them out, I would assume.
Gotta be learning. Gotta be thinking.
Yeah, esports.
Esports?
Yeah, yeah, sports.
Of the E variety. Okay, so that's all you played? And or watched?
Yeah, and or watched. I'm going to PAX next weekend, so I won't be on the show.
Oh, I'm jealous, man.
Woo, I'm excited to hear back on how PAX goes. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be my second one, and I'm not driving this year. Yes.
Woo.
That's nice. That
makes it so much better.
It's like an hour-long flight versus a seven-hour drive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That sounds way better.
And it was like $250 round-trip tickets.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's like one night at the hotel room or whatever.
And then, yeah, and then I'm doing a room share with the same guy I did room share with last year for PAX.
Man, I bet you're going to have an awesome time. I'm super jealous.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping my flight lands or departs and lands on time. Because then I can actually hopefully make it to the Giant Bomb party, the pre-PAX one that they're going to have with Rock Band and all that shit.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Because my plane is scheduled to come in at 8 p.m. But that's at the Seattle airport. And then I have to take a shuttle from the airport to the hotel. I have to drop all my stuff off, and then I have to find where this parlor place is. And see if it's even worth, like, going that far.
Yeah. Research all this shit in the airport, probably.
Yeah, because it works out really well, actually, because I actually have, like, a five-hour meeting on Thursday, which was the day that I was planning on driving up until I found out about said meeting. And, the only flights that I could find for that day are super late in the afternoon, which is perfect because it's the airport is in the same city that my job is in. So I get done with work and then I just go hang out at the airport for a couple hours. I'll be there an hour or two, like earlier than you should be. So I'll be there like 3 hours earlier, but whatever.
Well, have fun, man. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I will try to. I'm not sure what I'm going to do this year, because last year it was just more of, hey, I want to walk around and just, this is fucking awesome. I've never been to a convention before.
Can I make a request of you?
Sure.
Can you find some VR for me? Can you attempt to locate and or
Oh, see, the problem play? Is, though, dude, I still have my glasses. I don't have contacts yet. And I don't want to play it with my glasses because they're huge and it doesn't fucking work.
Well, all right. But still, I'm gonna make you. No, I don't have any. No, I just want to know.
Dude, seriously, like last year, the line for the Oculus was huge.
I would just be interested to see how many different VR are there, different headsets. So report back to me on what you see as far as.
Oh, okay, you're talking hardware wise.
Yeah, like see, I want to see if Valve's there or like, I don't, you know, I want to see the lines. Tell me how long the line is. I want to see how people want it, how many people want it.
General presence, yeah.
I will be likely periscoping a lot of it.
Cool.
Awesome. People should follow you on Twitter then, so they can watch it.
I'm sure Romsbag's Twitter will also retweet that, so if you follow either of those.
I'm sure it will.
You will certainly.
But yeah, I need to look at what panels and stuff are going on other than the Giant Bomb stuff that I'm going to go to. Yeah, going to Seattle. It's going to be dope.
Yep. Cool. All
right, cool.
Well, I got to play some VR yesterday, kind
what?
Of.
Why?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you continue.
It was weird. It was the cardboard phone VR stuff. So maybe that doesn't really count. And even he was like, my buddy that had it, he was like, this is just kind of cool. Like, I got this kit thingy for my phone and it was cheap. It was just like two little shitty lenses, plastic lenses to go in there. And I'm not sure like what specific version it was exactly. I should have asked him and wrote it down or whatever. But it had some cool demos on there, like you're going through the Versailles Palace, and it was really awesome. Like, I was surprised at how cool it actually was. Like, I was just looking around, and even though it was, like, shitty phone, like, right up to my face, it still looked pretty damn nice. I was surprised. It made me want to get, like, a real version, for sure, like Oculus or whatever comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that cardboard phone one online. I think you can even order it on Amazon for pretty cheap. But I was just thinking about that the other day of like, I really, really want to try this before all the big VR headsets hit. Maybe I will also get that at some point.
Oh, yeah. If your phone supports it and you can get it for like really cheap, you may as well. Like, I think Gary's phone supports it. So I'm going to make him get one just because it was fun to fuck around with. But the main reason we went over there was to play with their new baby kitten named Pants, and that kitten was adorable. That was a lot of fun.
That's a really good name for a cat,
yeah.
Yeah, he was super cute. We also played Fibbage and Drawful with like a whole bunch of people, and that was fun. And I won, so that was great. So of course it was great.
Whoa!
We also had this cool Indian Chinese food from this place called Chicken Lollipop, and that was great. Oh my god, if you haven't had Indian Chinese food, I recommend it a whole bunch, because holy shit, that was good.
You're making me hungry. Oh man, that looks good. That actually looks really good.
Okay. Yeah, I had like the chili chicken fried rice, and it tasted so good. It's like the best of Chinese food and Indian food put together. Holy crap. I gotta go there again. Thanks, Austin.
Just gonna bookmark that. Just gonna...
Yeah, all if right. anybody gets to visit, holy crap. It's just in a gas station, but that is some good food. As for like video games, I haven't really bought any new video games because Metal Gear, I'm just waiting for that really. Yeah. Started playing Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah,
you
did.
I saw that quick look and I was like, "Oh my god, I've had like a beta key forever and I was just intimidated for some reason because it was still a MOBA even though it's like a MOBA for babies, I guess, but I've had a lot of fun. I got Diablo unlocked on there because I own Diablo, and he's kind of cool. Playing as the Demon Hunter lady a lot. She's a lot of fun. Heroes of the Storm is pretty fun.
Yeah, it
is. I've been playing some of it today, even when I was supposed to be working on other stuff, but I'm probably going to go back to that too. And I think I might spend money on it.
Yeah. The MOBA's got its claws in you now.
I was thinking this morning, like, well, maybe I'll install Dota and see what that's really about. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's, yep. Get you hooked on the drug first, and then you move on to the hard stuff. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Like, I had a taste, and I was like, I'm sure it's even better. Yeah. I've heard this is the good stuff. So, yeah, have you guys been playing any Heroes of the Storm at all?
I have. Nope. Don't worry, Jake. We're going to get you into it eventually. You'll get hooked then, and you'll be in it. Great. No, I have. Yes, I've played a lot of Heroes of the Storm over the last few days. It's been weird. I don't know why, but me and my friends all decided, hey, we don't really feel like playing League of Legends anymore. Let's play Heroes of the Storm, like, nonstop for, like, 2 days. And I leveled up a lot. I'm at level, like, 32 or something like that.
Oh my god, wow. I'm only, like, level 6, I think I just got up to just now. Wow.
I played some ranked. Heroes of the Storm, and that's Ooh. What you would expect. It's hard-ish.
Do people get a lot more mad?
Oh yeah, but you just turn off all the chat and then just don't even pay attention. Because it doesn't even matter. None of it matters. As a, so as a long you, like, time
queue to up, uh-huh, queue up with other people.
Yes.
And play, yeah. Or is it just join a thing?
Yeah, they actually give you like bonus experience and gold too if you're actually playing with friends.
Yeah,
that's the only way I'd play that.
Oh, maybe I'll get you to play. Maybe you'll come and play.
Yeah.
Huh? Come
yeah.
on, huh? Little Rhymes Over Baghdad, Heroes of the Storm.
Shit.
Huh?
It's pretty fun.
I'm gonna mark it like, down on my calendar.
I hate solo queuing in CS. Even though like the majority of the people I've ran into are pretty decent, like nice people.
Yeah, I mean I agree with like that in any multiplayer game is like yeah, every but like this still removes the possibility that there's someone that a dick's gonna get in your game. That's usually like
yeah.
the big plus of having someone else to play with.
The one thing nice about the matchmaking in this game, though, is that it factors in, like, which characters are being selected to, so they try and, like, have healers in your team, so you won't be totally unbalanced, theoretically. Oh, nice. So, that's kind of nice.
So you don't get people yelling at you to, hey, pick a support, pick a support, pick a support. GG, no re, GG, no re. That's it. A support? It heals people. It's a healer. That's what the support is. It heals people.
No, the support is the person who follows the entry fragger into the bomb site.
Yes.
That's who the support player
yes.
is.
Yes. That is exactly what a support is. Yep.
Esports.
Uh-huh. Esports. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, Mary. And now it's got its hooks on you, and you will join the great Dota initiative.
I probably will. Like, I can see myself getting heavy into it. Yep. It's bad.
Hell, friend of the show, Mr. Popcans, that you would like to play Dota. He will be thrilled. Thrilled.
Mr. Popochan.
I keep thinking about it. Maybe.
Excellent. So did you play anything else?
I see
other games here.
Yeah. I've been playing more Splatoon, of course. Like, I just voted for Decepticons, so now I have a cool Decepticon purple shirt, and I'm probably going to play more of that tonight, too. Yeah.
There's a Transformers thing going on with Splatoon?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a weird contest, the Splatfest
kind of
thing.
If you think about it.
Yeah, really. Squids in disguise.
It's like Beast Wars, like 2.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, like, they've had this contest format before. Like, the last one was hot dogs versus marshmallows. Like, which one would be better for camping in a fire, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, like, I wasn't able to participate in the last one. And this seems like a fun little stupid gimmicky thing to do. Like, I love the Wii Vote channel on the Wii. Like, I would actually bother to do that garbage for some reason. So... this is like an in-game version of that, I guess, and that's kind of fun. They added a new map to it, Flounder Heights. It's similar to like a map that's already in the game called Wally Warehouse. There's a lot of space, lots of little areas to go and put down paint and shit. It's a good map. I like it. It's fun. That game remains to be fun. It's still fun. People are still playing it.
Are all the map named after fish? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Everything in that game is full of puns, like with marine life and shit. Like, I can totally see why they put Squid Girl in there because it is the exact same vibe and theme. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. I was just making sure.
Oh, and they actually had, like, another free demo weekend going on now, too, which I thought was pretty cool that they're bothering to do that even after the game has fully released. Like, get more people in on that. Give them another taste.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to get people to play your game. Give it to them for free for a little bit. Give them that little taste. Like, it's like Heroes of the Storm. Give it a little taste
yeah,
and you're in
exactly.
for the game. Yeah, that's it.
So Nintendo's getting pretty smart with some of the stuff, it seems like, giving little tastes and trying to drag their play base along. A little bit like Mario Maker now, too.
Yeah, Mario Maker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that little taste of it I saw on Friday of people playing looked pretty damn fun.
What?
Can't wait. But like other Nintendo games, I guess that's basically what I've been playing a lot this week is just Nintendo and computer stuff. I bought Picross E6 after they announced Picross 3D2 is coming out on the 3DS in October in Japan. Hopefully it comes out soon here too. It is a fancy game. It's super classy. It's all classical music and like minimalist fancy art style. They have this cool mode in there called Micross, I'm not sure, but you are basically like compiling a whole bunch of puzzles together and then making classical art pieces out of it. Like, oh, okay. One I just completed was Lady with an Airman. It's like a little weasel thing, a Da Vinci painting. It was actually, it looks really nice too, and like, it's just soothing and relaxing, just letting my mind be all smart and think about numbers and classical music and shit, and I feel super classy playing that game. I'm glad it exists.
Awesome. That actually looks pretty good. I like a good puzzle game.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like $6, has like around 300 or so puzzles in there, and you get more puzzles unlocked if you've bought the previous chapters, which I have because I'm crazy for Picross, I guess. Like, I love those fucking games. So, it's nice. Nice and relaxing.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks fun. So, and you said a new one is coming out soon?
Yeah, like, Picross 3D was on the DS, and I actually have, like, all the region versions of that game because I wanted to get, like, all of the user-made puzzles, so I played, like, all of them. I played the shit out of that series. It's a fun-ass game.
Well, that's kind of
cool. I'm so glad they're making a new one.
That's cool that they can make user-made puzzles. That's always good. Good replayability. Yeah.
It was an awesome feature. Like, Nintendo would go through and curate, like, the best of them and then release them as a download pack. So I'm sure, like, with the 3DS, like, internet features on this new one, it's going to be great. Yeah. And then the only other thing I played this week was a demo of Hatsune Miku Project Mirai DX. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What's this game? Tell me what...
It's a Miku music game, just like the Project Diva games, but okay. This
fucking
one...
Fucking weeaboo garbage.
Yeah, it is. I that's what I am. Whatever. That's me. This game is interesting.
You feel bad. Yeah, see, look at that.
No, it's fine. I totally am that. It's cool. I know. this game is cool because the original Project Diva games were actually developed by Dingo, which is an independent developer in Japan, and then published by Sega. And these 3DS games seem to be like Sega trying to make them in-house now. They're developed by AM2, who do like those 3DS, 3D classic ports and stuff. It seems to play just fine.
Cool.
Like, it plays a lot like the Project Diva games. Has a lot of the same music in there, too. Except it's just on a 3DS. And all of it is super chibi and cutesy. They look like those Nendoroid figures you can buy. That's a plus. It makes it kind of less creepy when it's all super deformed. Like, they don't need to mocap an actual 12-year-old girl for this game like they do on the other Project Diva games.
Did they actually do that?
Wait, what?
Did they actually do that?
Yeah, they totally did that. Yes.
What?
Damn it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and they released, like, a special footage of her dancing around, like, as a promotional thing.
Of course they did.
Japan.
Yeah, of course.
God damn it, Japan.
But, yeah, so this one is, like, an even more innocent version, I guess.
Oh,
especially
good.
Since it
good.
Has Puyo Puyo in it now, too. Like, that's another bonus of it being fully Sega.
Yeah, that makes up for
everything. Yeah, I'm back on board. We're back on board. Yeah,
yeah Puyo Puyo. It's going to have Puyo Puyo in it. Miku Puyo. So I'm going to have to buy this damn game because I'm weeaboo trash. It's true.
Okay, for the record, I wasn't saying you were fucking weeaboo garbage. I was saying what you were playing is fucking weeaboo garbage.
I am what I eat, okay? It's true.
Don't eat video games.
But Miku's so tasty.
Oh, I see how this is going to go. All okay. Right.
Move
along. All right. I could talk about some video games that aren't Miku.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, clean it up.
Okay, so I'm continuing my search for a new MMO. I played two MMOs this week. I played a little bit more Guild Wars 2. I played it way back in the day when it first came out. I had a pre-order and everything. And then after getting to max level and finding that literally no content, I quit. And now I came back to it a second time, and it's still not very good. There's still a lot of problems with it. I know some people really like it, but it's maybe just not the game for me. It didn't
I'll play
feel
Elder Scrolls
good. I know, I should. It's on my list of MMOs I'm going to have to try. Right after WildStar.
Like, even though I haven't put enough time into that game, like, I still think it was worth the $60 up front.
I will have to
go and
try.
I got a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just, I felt like Guild Wars 2... it's just not my game. Like a lot of games, I'm gonna make sure I make my characters very specifically, but I felt like when I went back to try this, it just, I didn't have that same connection with the game, so I didn't really care what I did as much. And I think that was my judge of if I even want to go back and play a game at this point, is if I care enough about the characters I make. So I don't know, it's all right. If you want something, it's all right, but I don't think it's as good as any of the other games I've played.
If you were playing game. Yeah, if you had like a friend you were playing it with, would that help a whole lot? Like, I guess it does for every game, but would you stick with it then, you think?
I had a friend who was playing with me for a little bit, but even he agreed it's just not, it doesn't have that hold. You don't feel like, I don't know, it's the issue with a lot of MMOs now where you feel like you're not necessarily playing with other people. Like, we just, even though we were trying to play with each other, we just got off on, like, different things we had to do in the world, and we couldn't really play together anymore, you know?
Okay, yeah. No,
yeah,
I had that problem, too.
Go ahead, Mary, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, I've had that problem with Final Fantasy 14, like, that's why I haven't been playing in a while. Like, I just needed to level up some crafting thing or whatever, and I was like, fuck this, never mind.
Go ahead, Jake. You were gonna say something?
But yeah, the player population is kind of one of the things that I think is the problem with Elder Scrolls, but I really just wanted a new Elder Scrolls single-player game, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it was okay. I wouldn't say it's bad, and I'm sure there's more there than what I saw in my brief time trying it again, but it just didn't have that hook, man. It didn't have the hook I needed to say, oh man, this is definitely the MMO I want to keep playing. But I will mention a smaller title, another MMO I played, Project Gorgon. It's currently in Kickstarter. It's early alpha. It's an MMO by, you know, somewhat of a smaller studio. It kind of harkens back to the days of Asheron's Call or EverQuest. It has that kind of play style and look to it. It's actually, I was surprised. As much as I usually write off smaller Kickstarter projects, this was actually, you know, pretty good. It was interesting. It did things that I hadn't seen before in an MMO for a long time, so... if you want to try a weird MMO that may or may not be very similar to very old games in the MMO genre, that's not a bad one to try. And they're in Kickstarter right now, so if you want to give them a little bit of money, I think they've more than earned that.
That actually sounds pretty cool. So it's like old style stuff, like it has corpse runs and things like that.
Yes, I mean, it has, I wouldn't say corpse runs, but yes, it has that still, like, you've got to talk to people to figure out what you're supposed to do, and the community is very open and friendly, like, to get, like, skills, like, to get magic, you don't start a character, you don't build a character with, you know, magical abilities, you're not a wizard to start off with, you start off very plain as just a person, and then you have to go, you know, find a trainer, do some quests for him, and then eventually he'll let you learn magic from him.
Okay, I see.
a lot of like text heavy stuff. You're like reading through a lot, and you gotta, you know, figure it out. It's not as hand holdy in like what you've got to do.
More actual role playing.
Yes, very very role play-y. Also, cool. I mentioned briefly, but the community is great. Like, I don't know where all these people have been in all the other online games I've played, but man, they're all like super friendly, helpful, like in like to an extreme that I wasn't exactly prepared for.
Oh man, but, yeah, that does sound different. Yeah, neat.
Yeah, so I might give them a little money. I mean, I'm not saying I'm gonna look forward to playing the game again, but you know, I think they more than earned it. I had a kind of fun time with it. And it says something to me that I had probably more fun playing Project Gorgon than big Guild Wars 2, but maybe that's just me. Alright, I'll move on to my next game, as long as nobody else has anything else to add. I played on the phones Pac-Man. The new Pac-Man game. Yes, I know what you're thinking. A new Pac-Man game? It can't be. But it's actually pretty good. It's actually really good.
Yeah, this is sweeping the Twitter from what I've seen. People are all about this new Pac-Man.
So basically, it's like never-ending Pac-Man. You just keep going up and up and up and up. And like, it's made by the same people that made Crossy Road. It's very good. It's very fun. It's a good reimagining of Pac-Man. And I looked it up, and it's, I guess the name Pac-Man 256 is based on a level in Pac-Man where things get really glitchy.
Kill screen coming up, you guys.
Yeah, I was gonna say
kill screen.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense. Because that is a computer number. 256. Yeah.
Yep. It's kind of interesting. Of
16.
Yeah. It's a good naming convention for a Pac-Man game. It's interesting. It's like you have to avoid. It's like almost a Rising Lava game, right? Where you have to keep going at a pace to keep ahead of something. So you keep climbing the board, evading ghosts and stuff, and getting power-ups, and eating power pellets and stuff like that. But you just gotta keep going up, or you'll be swallowed by the glitchy stuff at the bottom. It's a good-looking game. I liked it. It's a fun game to spend your time with when you're sitting in a waiting room or doing other things.
No, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm gonna have to get that one.
Yeah, I think anyone who plays it will enjoy it, and I'm as writing an article on something that will be posted this week, I'm really impressed with older games getting good reimagines. I'm like kind of blown away by Pac-Man getting so much attention in so many good games over the last few years.
Yeah, no, like I really like their version of Frogger, so their version of like a weird, faster Pac-Man I bet is pretty fun too.
And the last game I played, which I just briefly played this morning, was Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, I saw you on Steam this morning.
Why?
Like, why?
Yeah, Marvel Heroes.
And it's the renamed one.
Yeah, Marvel Heroes 2015.
It's better scummy. Now, you guys. It's good now.
Come back. It's good now. I don't know. I was really in the mood for a podcast game, and I was like, well, I'm not going to buy Diablo right now, but I might as well try something, and I picked Marvel Heroes. I'm playing Cyclops. I got the shooty laser eyes. It's, you know, it's a fun Diablo-esque type of game that I'm also somebody who reads a lot of Marvel comics, so I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's alright for what it is. It's not as terrible as some would say, as some people in this podcast may think it is. It's alright.
No, yeah, like, I played it when it was new, like, a long time ago, and it's not really that bad. Like, it is really awesome for, like, a free loot action RPG-style game, and especially if you like Marvel stuff, but I don't know, just the maps are kind of small, and I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, I think they probably changed some stuff. Some of the maps I've been in are actually fairly large and somewhat complex in what you gotta do in them. So maybe that's a change? I don't know. I've never played the original.
No, yeah. Like, I haven't played it in a couple of years or whatever. Like, not since they changed the name. So I'm sure there is a lot more different. I might need to go back to that. I don't know. Why not?
Why not? It's free. No obligation. I always say if it's a free game, you should just go and try it. Just try it every once in a while. Go back. Maybe it'll catch your eye again. Anyway, that's all the games I've been playing. And they were all, you know, pretty okay games this week. I did well. I did well for myself in picking games. Okay. You guys want to move on to news?
Sure.
Okay.
Some news. All right. So first off, I would like to mention there's a new Hitman movie out. It's getting bad reviews. It's real bad. Wait, it's already out? It's out.
Like what? In theaters or on demand or what? Crackle?
Did they just
like
Joe Dirt 2? Yeah.
I swear it's out. I saw it in the movie there. It might not be out. Maybe I'm terribly mistaken. I should actually check if it's actually out. Early reviews for it have been pretty bad. Like lower than Superman. No, I mean, not lower than Superman. Lower than Mario Brothers. Lower than that. Think about that for a minute.
I like the first Hitman movie for what it's worth. I like that first movie.
Yeah, like one of my little brothers
well done,
really liked it too, but he has bad taste.
It was a video game movie, yeah, considering it was a video game movie, I thought it was pretty well done. They stuck to the games pretty well.
It was released on the 21st of August, so it is out. It's out.
Yeah, they just straight up Sega Saturn that shit, didn't they?
Oh yeah, no, like I can get tickets. There are showtimes. That's weird.
I guess it did pretty badly, only bringing in $3 million over the entire weekend, or in its debut. That's bad.
I wonder if that shows like how much people care about Hitman. Like, I wonder how that new Hitman movie or the game is going to do. Like, I wonder if that has any.
I don't know.
Like, do people care about Hitman at all anymore? I don't know.
I feel like the last Hitman game I saw definitely seems similar to the story of this movie, where the Hitman goes rogue, man. Agent 47 goes rogue, and like there's this girl he's got to protect. The girl makes him more human, and he's not a clone anymore. You know, that kind of story.
Wow. Line. Okay.
Hitman. It's a
whatever,
movie.
I still thought the first movie was good.
Yeah, it was good.
For a video game movie, it was pretty good.
No, for a video game movie, it was pretty damn great. Like, it was on a
well,
level.
Well, I liked the Doom
movie, really,
so
really well done
I don't
for
know.
A video game movie. Like, they at least tried to not, like, be like, yo, it's a video game movie.
Yep. It's, you know, I just wanted to mention it's out. It's a major video game franchise that has a movie now, and it's out. But I might not recommend you go see it. Anyway.
Yeah, I would say, like, the John Wick movie is a better Hitman movie than Hitman,
yeah.
But that's me personally.
I want John Wick and Hitman to meet each other.
Maybe they will. There's going to be like an actual John Wick game made by the Payday developers. So I don't know. Maybe they'll have crossover DLC or some shit.
Still the weirdest thing that somehow Payday has a John Wick character in the game. I don't even understand. That's just so weird. That's such a weird tie-in. But anyway, I digress.
I never saw John Wick.
It's a great movie.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
If you like the first
Hitman interesting.
Movie, you'll like that.
All right. Is it on, like, any streaming services?
Oh, boy. That's a question I do not know the answer to. It probably is. Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? I could look it up real quick.
Now we're all just going to sit here, and everybody's Googling it.
Yeah.
Well, I swear I saw it, like, on Netflix the other day, but maybe I'm just going insane.
It might be on Amazon streaming, maybe. I don't know. It's on some. I'm sure it's somewhere. You could find it somewhere. Just go online and type it in. Type in John Wick online free. You'll find it. I promise.
Yeah, you'll find it.
I promise.
I mean, you don't even have to include free if you already have a couple of the services.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but.
Oh, it is unavailable on Netflix streaming, just so you know.
But you could do the Netflix rent it. You could get the DVD delivered to you.
You could.
Don't do that. Don't be silly. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody does that. Anyway, we can move on.
All right.
To the first actual piece of video game related news. So I guess Nintendo has filed a patent for a discless game system. It has not contained a disc in the game system. Your thoughts on this incredible patent filing?
They're going back to carts.
Okay, fine with me. Right, yeah, no, that stuff is cheap now. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, if they, but it's Nintendo. They're doing online stuff. Is it going to be a console with just, you know, streaming or like some kind of online service to back it up? Because I don't have faith in Nintendo with online stuff much. But I'm down if they want to try it. That'd be pretty cool.
Seems like they're getting better all the time, and they're trying to pay more attention since they see, like, no, for real, everything is going online. Like, you have to learn now. So, I don't know. With their focus on mobile and actually partnering with people that will help them with online service stuff, maybe. I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to come out with some kind of application or some kind of larger client that goes between phones and this new console. Some kind of central media hub for Nintendo games. I think that'd be a very cool idea for them to just kind of link it all together. Create a Nintendoverse. As it were.
I was hoping for that before, like, the Wii U. Like, there was that rumor around, like, saying, oh, they'll bring out the Nintendo and it'll just be, like, a portable and docking unit and it's everything Nintendo. Buy it.
I think they have a lot of very old games that they could certainly just give away for free. If they want to port them over to a mobile phone or something like that, you can just access it on your mobile phone or when you go home and you can just play it on your new and or, whatever.
Go ahead. Or possibly like a premium subscription service, because that seems to be the way a lot of people are going, and it seems somewhat successful.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think they could definitely do that. I wonder if this is a sign of things to come with consoles, as them becoming kind of like Steam boxes, almost. Just not even very much open things, but very, you know, closed ecosystems.
Yeah, like, this is your box for buying these Nintendo games, which Nintendo has kind of always been anyway, so they may as well lean into that some more.
I think it's a very cool idea for them. I hope it goes well. That seems, like, kind of brave for Nintendo. Pushing the boundaries of their own comfortability with things. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Or it could be bad. I mean, let's be honest. It could be very bad. But it could be good. There's a chance.
They're trying. Yeah, who knows.
And our next news story. After a big dispute, the Daybreak's former president has left the company. You may remember Daybreak as the company that used to be SOE Online, Sony's online company that did a lot of stuff with EverQuest. I believe they also did other games, but some of their names escape me. Yeah, PlanetSide. But that the president of the company was with the company for something like 11 years, and it's now just left.
John Smedley.
This poor dude. Like, I feel bad for him. Holy shit. Like, this one guy online has been harassing the shit out of him, grounded a flight he was on in 2014 by claiming that there were explosives on board. This dude was, like, only 17 years old, received no jail time. I don't blame him for quitting, because that's a lot of bullshit to have to go through.
I think it also speaks to where Daybreak is headed in some ways. I mean, I think he put up with it for a while, but
it's not worth that. Not good. What the fuck? Yeah, some crazy EverQuest dude what the fuck? Ugh.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll bet it was PlanetSide, because that game game was being heavily neglected at that time.
So let's threaten this guy with explosives on his plane. Claim that happened. Yeah. Because you're not paying enough attention to our video game.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, Daybreak was doing some good stuff there. I mean, they had Planet Side, but they also were starting to work on EverQuest Next. But now it just seems like this company has had quite a string of bad shit happen to them over the last few years, and is now in not a great situation.
Well, I don't blame him for wanting to leave, because who wants to work on H1Z1? Yeah. Not me.
No one does.
Hey-o.
Yeah, no. No thanks.
It's not even really a joke. I mean, nobody wants to work on that game. Like, no one. Like, I can't imagine some kid growing up and going, man, you know what a game I want to work on? H1Z1. No kid says that. No kid.
But I can make it better. It'll be good now. No, it's good.
You have big dreams, little Jimmy, but sometimes those dreams don't come true. Just doesn't happen. No, but really, we'll move on to Amazon now. So Amazon has had a hell of a week in news. Just the worst week you could probably ever have. So a new, big news story came out in the New York Times, if you haven't seen it. That's basically slamming Amazon for having a lot of bad business practices. A lot of very intense pusher workers till the breaking point. And this is mainly, you know, in their larger tech development stuff. In their HR departments and things like that.
Yeah, that is a hostile ass sounding company culture where they want you to like call in on a phone number and report on your fellow coworkers if you think they're not working hard enough and shit. Like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Konami levels of just crazy. Crazy stuff. But when it relates to video games, so Amazon's gaming division lost three of its major figures. So I guess that says something about a lot of stuff that's been going on over at that gaming division. And that's it's a terrible shame. I was looking forward to something from Amazon's game studios. But now it seems dark. Full of terrors.
Yeah, like, I just wonder what was the whole plan with this Amazon Game Studios thing, because I have not seen much resulting from it. I don't own, like, a Fire box or anything, but still.
It seems, yeah. I mean, it just seemed like they were just starting to get going, really, and then all of a sudden, you know, you lose three big members of your team. All of a sudden, that seems not good. That doesn't seem very positive for the future of Amazon Game Division. Maybe I could be proven wrong, but man, that's not good.
So wait, who were the three people who left?
The three people that left were Clint Hocking, Eric Nudlin, and Jonathan Hamill. I believe were the names. I might have mispronounced every single one of those names. I apologize.
Hocking did Splinter Cell, Far Cry 2. Never said what he was working on at Amazon. That's the weird thing. Like, they brought out some cell phone games, and they said they were going to make, like, an ambitious PC game, but I have not seen any announcements. Like, what the hell is up? Like, even if they are bringing stuff out, like, their marketing message has not gone along with that.
And I may say that Jonathan Hamill, I believe, may be from Crystal Dynamics and may have been someone who worked on the Tomb Raider reboot. To tie that all in.
Me.
Also, I believe one of the people has worked, like, 13 years on Halo or something like that. I believe... Eric Nudland? I'm slaughtering your name, I'm sorry, but it's, he definitely
worked at Microsoft. Yeah, he wrote the Halo novels and stuff, too.
Yep. So, you know, these are not small people in terms of, their impact on the game industry. These are not, like, new people that, you know, are hyped, but these are long-standing, individuals in the game industry. Which should say something. If the people that know what's up are leaving a company, that company's probably not doing super well.
That's weird. It's a bummer.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to hear what happens there. Also, another Amazon-related gaming news that's kind of bad. Amazon is abandoning its pre-ordered program in the UK. But it's not really
pre-owned. Yeah, like East games.
Pre-owned, not pre-ordered. I was like, oh man, that's good news. For a second, no, it's pre-ordered. Okay. So yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't live in the UK, and it seems like a lot of used games on Amazon are just done through, like, vendors just having their own Amazon storefront. So if this program was a pain in the butt to run, I can see why they just stopped. Like, it probably doesn't make them any money.
It's just like, I just wanted to mention it because, man, Amazon's had a hell of a week here.
Yeah.
In terms of news, it just seems like they had no good PR this week. Especially relating to video games. And our final news story. So tell me about Batman.
It's still broken. You still can't buy it. They had an update on their official forums about the new patch that's supposedly going to fix a lot of things, but they said it was going to come out by the end of this month. It is not. It's coming out, like, hopefully a couple of weeks from now, they said. So maybe, like, by the middle of September, you can buy Batman on PC and play it. Hopefully. Who knows?
Boy.
That's fun.
The story of Batman continues.
Yeah, like, that game has not been for sale for, like, 2 months still, and that's pretty crazy for, like, such a big deal game. Like, I don't remember how long it took to fix Assassin's Creed Unity, but I don't think it was this long.
Yeah, it's starting to look more like a SimCity here. It's starting to look real, like, a lot of issues.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fucked up seeming game, yeah.
That really sucks. Because I wanted to buy the Batman game, but now I'm not so sure.
And, like, as another small news story about fucked up games, the Wii U version of Freedom Planet has been indefinitely postponed. It had some freezing bugs, like issues with that, and they were trying to patch it. And, yeah, they're not sure when that game's going to come out anymore either, so that kind of sucks. Kind of glad I broke down and bought it on PC instead, because that one works, but broken games, it's sucky. Hope they get well soon. Get well soon, video games.
Get well soon, Batman. Gotham needs you. Batman, he's dead. It's not going to ever happen. No.
I'm Batman.
Oh my god, I found out that the original I'm Batman line was going to be I'm Batman motherfucker, but they cut out the motherfucker.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. That's great.
I'm hyped for the Deadpool movie because they're going to make it rated R.
Yeah.
Rated R. I wonder how that's going to be. I want it to be goofy, but like not annoyingly goofy. And I don't know. Deadpool.
He's always kind of annoyingly goofy, though.
It depends on the writer. Yeah, it depends on the writer. And hopefully the movie is not too monkey cheese, fart, squee, shit.
What?
I think it might be.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jake.
I said I think it might be. Might have a lot of that. But I don't know.
Oh, well. Maybe it'll still be funny. Maybe.
It has to be better than a new Fantastic Four movie, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I bet that one's funny. And funny as in, like, this is shitty and I'm going to laugh at it. And I want that to go to the Dollar Theater quick because I got to see Tim Heidecker as Reed Richards' dad. That sounds great.
Report back to us on that if it ever happens.
I will. Yeah. I saw the other Fantastic Four movies. Like, I have the Roger Corman one, too, so I may as well see this one. Fuck it.
Alright, well, I think that does it for news. If you guys have anything else to talk about, we could talk about it, but I believe that's gonna conclude this episode.
Yeah, we don't have any emails.
Aw, really?
Why don't we have any emails, listeners?
What the fuck?
Listeners?
Romsbag@gmail.com. Otherwise, we're going to swear at you some more. So send us an email, please.
Nobody wants that. No, but really, send us some emails. Also, tweet us. Tweet us at Rhymesbag Twitter. We're probably going to have a new looking website soon. It'll be easier to find our email there. Get ready. It's going to be pretty. Somewhat. Look out for Jake's thing coming up. He will be doing things, maybe. With the PAX.
PAX coverage, yeah.
Of I'm some not sure kind of how Periscope. Much I'll do, but,
do
I'm not even sure if the podcast is going to happen or not. I'm going to take my gear with me. I have to test my setup out that I'm planning to take with me. But I have two people are tentatively down.
Cool.
Awesome. Good luck.
It's going to be like a post PAX thing. Like I think we're planning on meeting up on Monday, like at noon. So it's like the end of PAX.
Cool.
Break it all down. That sounds great.
Yep.
Break it all down. Break the walls of PAX down.
That's what this podcast does. It breaks things down.
We never put them back together. We just put them in a corner after that. When you break something, don't fix it. Just put it in a corner.
Just smash it into pieces.
Fundamental standpoint.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for us. Here at Rhymesbag Studio.
Located in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
We're now located in the Netherlands.
Why don't we use the Canadian Mumble server for this?
Boy, sometimes I wonder, don't you? We gotta wrap this, though. We can't talk about that right now.
All right. What?